This episode of Enterprise Radio is brought to you by the Before It Happened podcast series. From transportation and AI to just anything you can put in your home, office, or pocket, you'll hear from the innovators themselves as they tell their stories of how they brought those visions to life. To listen in or to subscribe, simply visit beforeithappened.com.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
And once again, this is Eric Dye, and welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're visiting with Helen Yu, the founder and CEO of Tigon Advisory. She drives growth for tech companies from startups to global titans like Oracle and Adobe, and helps CEOs achieve multi-billion dollar revenue growth and record profitability. Her new book is Ascend Your Startup, Conquer the Five Disconnects to Accelerate Growth. And Helen, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Hey, Eric. Thank you for having me here today.
You're certainly more than welcome and looking forward to hearing from you in all regards today. So for starters, what actually prompted you to write this book, Ascend Your Startup?
So the why behind Ascending Startup was really a book to honor my grandmother. As you probably read about the book, why I ascended the Mount Everest was to keep a sacred promise to my grandmother, who really raised me, and then to leave her ashes on a tall mountain. I felt unstoppable. I made up my mind that nothing would hold me back from my climb. So my destination started out not really on any map, but in my mind. Making the decision to write this ascending startup was no different. I felt it was yet another way to honor the grit and resilience Grandma taught growing up in a small province, and honor the grit and resilience it takes to scale a startup.
Now, in your book, you talk about the effort involved in climbing a mountain and the task you were given by your grandmother that inspired you to rise to the challenge. Do you think that sense of purpose is vital for startups as well?
No question about it. Without a sense of purpose, a founder's journey is empty, or worse, goes awry. Right? Purpose gives us a destination and motivation to get there. That's why having a purpose is so critical for any startup founders.
I certainly can appreciate that approach. Good stuff there. And tell us also, is there a certain kind of person that is tailor-made in terms of drive and temperament for running a startup? And conversely, are there people who should never do it?
You know, that's a million-dollar question, Eric. I wish we had a formula that we can just plug in people with the right characteristics into these startups and to guarantee success. However, I think there are a few characteristics of successful startup founders that I've worked with. They thrive on a strong sense of personal self-efficacy to execute their vision, and they have keen eyes for innovation to identify new products or markets. They're great listeners who turn ideas into actionable insights. They usually articulate their vision super well, and they inspire devotions in others. Their risk tolerance level is typically higher. Motivation for achievement is much stronger. I actually, having worked with so many startups, and many of the successful founders are not the ones super flashy out there. They're down to the earth. They don't have the loudest voice in the room, right? Those are the ones that I work with who are mega successful.
If you would give us some feedback here, how do you get people to work harder at conceiving of their brand at the beginning of a startup, and why is this so important?
Yeah, this is where you book a big conference room, you gather your team, call a brand meeting. After everyone sits down, right, leave an empty chair. That empty chair is where your brand gets to sit. Your brand came before you even started a company, probably before you even thought of, you know, the cool tech idea, right? Your brand comes from inside of you, the founder. Your brand is your values, core beliefs and high mission and expression of your why. You are a product creator now. You are also a brand creator. So as early as possible, you have to think about how you're going to extend that the impact your brand creates and include others in how you articulate that message in the branding so you are successful longer term. This is the foundation for building any company. Brand deserves your attention, major thinking time, and love because, after all, your brand is how others outside of your organization perceive you. You don't really want this very important fact to be the stumbling block to scaling. But you got to dig deeper, right, to find your vision, a mission, explore the why, what, and how you got there, the anticipated risk, and how you measure success. For all the startups, when I work with them, I use the three-word strategy, right? When I say three-word, you think about Apple, they say think differently, and then Nike is just do it. And then Disney is making people happy, right? I always ask the founder, and can you give me three words to describe your brand? Oftentimes, 90% of the time, they cannot come up with three words. They give me like paragraphs. And, you know, the co-founders will have different words to describe what the company is about or what brand is about. So that's really telling, right? Telling you that that's the important topic that most founders would ignore at an early stage. So branding is really like a vast open sea where the waves rise and fall without the sailor having any bearing in which direction they're going. Founders are tech wizards, so they really shrink at the mere thought that they could possibly master their brand. So this is where they really need to find someone who's been there, done that, to help them drive this conversation to ensure they build a brand that or brand image, right? And that's aligned with their vision, where the company is going. So you cannot ignore the importance of this.
That's some really good information right there. I like that. Now, why is the transition from idea to product such a dangerous crossroad for startups, and how can they navigate this successfully?
Yeah, great question, Eric. So the desire to abandon our climb happens from time to time as we ascend. So going from idea to product puts you at a crossroad. There are days you make no progress. You look around, there churning customers in sight, you have limited resources and funding as an early stage startup. This is when you need to define what your minimum viable product is. That means to build a basic set of features just to capture the attention of early adopters and make your solution unique. This is a dangerous crossroad because you can lose focus on the core value by trying to include every single feature. Company loses its money and fails to succeed if a minimum viable product becomes overloaded with features. If you build your product without a broader view, you could be off, right? This was captured as more in my book as defining the minimum viable disconnect. So it's super critical to invest and to ensure that you figure that out.
Some great insight and information shared so far, Helen. Really do appreciate it. Now, this episode of Enterprise Radio, again, is being brought to you by our partners at the Before It Happened podcast series. Before any world-changing innovation, there was a moment, an event, a realization that sparked the idea. The Before It Happened podcast series is a show about that idea. Each week, host Donna Laughlin takes a deep dive into a singular light bulb moment that inspired the visionaries to push forward and change our lives forever. To listen in or to subscribe, visit beforeithappened.com. Again, that is beforeithappened.com. Today, we're speaking with Helen Yu, the founder and CEO of Tigon Advisory and author of her new book, Ascend Your Startup, Conquer the Five Disconnects to Accelerate Growth. She's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Helen, another tricky juncture for so many startups is knowing how to scale. What's your advice for successfully making the shift?
I want to say, look at your why, right? Why did you start this company to begin with? Answer this profound question is discussed early in my book, because building a business is no different than life itself. So building a startup is not without intense emotion. Scaling faster is one part of the equation, but the other part is fear. If you can get past the fear, you can make the shift. You will figure out the how along the way, but the most important indicator is if you are willing to make the climb, only the founder themselves can answer that question.
Now, also in the book, you divide the journey of a startup into camps. Can you talk about how your experience on that climb and back in 2007 inspired you to think in this way?
Yeah, sure. I want to give readers the bigger picture of their journey, right? Because that is what a startup is a journey. Each person who needs a funding or startup is at a different point in that journey. But as I talk about in the book, sometimes you have to go back down the mountain to acclimate your body and mind to the rising altitude. My climb up to Mount Everest inspired me to give tech founders a decision framework to scale faster and more fearlessly by paralleling the journey up their mountain. It is not easy to climb thousands of feet in the air and battle severe weather conditions, slippery slopes, and unforeseen emergencies. The startup journey is no different. In both cases, you have to take the climb one section at a time, celebrate one milestone at a time, and make progress one goal at a time.
Yeah, certainly appreciate your input on that. That is helpful. Now, among the many buzzwords we hear today, it is customer-centric, which is easier said than done. But if it's more than a buzzword, why is it so important, and how can startups really be customer-centric?
It is so important because being customer-centric is the surest path to scaling a company, right? I will take that one step further. How can startups measure customer-centric? You have to find insights into each of your customers, their use cases, what they, you know, why they really invest in you in the first place, and how much they spend on your solution, and how well they adopted your solution. What is the user persona, right? And then what is the, you know, list of upsell, cross-sell opportunities by customer? And then what is the strengths and weakness and threat opportunities per customer? And what does that information mean to you as a founder? Who does your account team interact with? Right? Do you have relationships with executives or decision makers at the customer? What is your overall NPS for your customer? This may come as a surprise, but measuring customer-centric does not just start with your customer. It starts internally with your employee experience. How well you treat your employee has a profound impact on their well-being and happiness. If they are satisfied with their job, feeling empowered and trusted, they will be dedicated to make customers happier. And then, doesn't happy sound like a Greek buzzword for a customer-centric company? And then lastly, you got to look at how you are impacting your customer's customer success. This is the ultimate measure of being a customer-centric business, right, by really extending their lifetime value working with you.
And of course, startups are always looking for that perfect investor. How can startups find investors who really believe in their vision and will support it?
Sure. A very important question, right, Eric, because if you don't measure, you don't know the health of your business. My fifth grader math teacher said, and it does not exist if it's not measurable, right? There are a number of papers or pages in the book, in my book, that addresses this. But the most important thing to know is that you should measure each function's performance so that success is rewarded consistently across your company. There is a science to it. It takes more than collecting enterprise logos to turn a startup into a scale-up. Here are seven metric-based questions to ask. Number one, what is your organization's strength? Is it customer or sales or product? Number two, what are the desired business outcome applying our strengths? Number three, what does it mean to each function? Right. If you are a sales-driven organization, then what does that mean to product team or service team? How can they support a marketing team? How do they support the sales to drive new logos? But the fourth question is, are our strategic resources organized properly? And then the fifth question is, where might we find more strategic resources that will give us the capabilities we do not have today? And then the sixth question is, it doesn't work the same as for our competitors. The last question here is, what is the kind of backstory of our current situation? Right, learning and leading and lagging indicators include financials, sales, marketing, customer success and services, training, support, product, and human resources. But that's a good starting point.
Fabulous feedback right there. Thank you for that as well. Now, can you talk about some of the most memorable clients and where they are today? I'm sure listeners would appreciate that.
One of the most memorable clients is Jabot, right? I joined the Jabot advisory board early 2018. When I first engaged with them in December, actually 2016, they were a MarTech company. At a time, there were only 100 MarTech companies. 5 years later, there are 7,000 MarTech companies. How do they set themselves apart from competitors? Where, you know, we explore the questions. It's so important, right, for them to figure out. And we can ask, what are their longer term goals and who is their ideal customer profile? You know, does their solution solve the problem their ideal customers have? And then we decided to pivot from a MarTech company to a data company. So Jabot jumped out of competition through that successful pivot. CNBC named them one of the 25th fastest growing companies in 2018. Within 6 months, we doubled the revenue growth compared to the entire 2 years prior.
That right there, in a nutshell, says it all. Really do appreciate, Helen, your joining us here today, all the insight and information shared, and you're certainly making a difference in the space. Lastly, what advice would you give startup founders right now in this business climate that we're in? Are things different than they were 10 years ago, and is it harder or easier to found a new company and get out there?
I would say life is a constant parade of changes. It is the founder's job to understand their strengths, assess the landscape, and then find the challenges and overcoming them, right? And I learned that a lot of founders they understand the product, but they don't necessarily understand the people or processes. And when that happens, you have to really understand your strengths and weakness, and then you engage and you partner with others who can complement you to carry you forward with the journey. Like, I had to hire a Sherpa, right, through my Mount Everest Base Camp climbing experience. Had I not done that, I would not have succeeded climbing the base camp. The really lesson learned here, you have to understand, right, doing that assessment, knowing exactly where you're at, what you can offer, and then hire the people with complementary skill set to carry on the journey with you.
Helen, really appreciate that advice and a great place to conclude today. I'm sure listeners want to get more information. Where can they find more information on Tigon Advisory, and where can they pick up your book, Ascend Your Startup?
Yeah, they can definitely go to my website, tigonadvisory.com, or they can always find that through Amazon called Ascend Your Startup. They can always find me also through LinkedIn, Tigon HYU, or Twitter. My handler is YU Helen U.
And again, that's TigonAdvisory.com. Helen, all the best, and thanks so much for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me, Eric.
And you're certainly more than welcome. We've been speaking with Helen Yu, the founder and CEO of Tigon Advisory and author of her new book, Ascend Your Startup, Conquer the Five Disconnects to Accelerate Growth. And for all the details, visit TigonAdvisory.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.
This episode of Enterprise Radio was brought to you by our partners at the Before It Happened podcast series. Nearly 20 years ago, Donna Laughlin launched a public relations firm with the sole purpose of helping visionaries tell their story to the world. Now, two decades later, she's sharing those stories and more with you. To listen in or to subscribe, simply visit BeforeItHappened.com. Again, that is BeforeItHappened.com.